Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Thursday, July 9th, and the Democracy Campaign released a report today that shows once again that raising and spending more money than your opponent virtually guarantees a legislative candidate a win. But there is a twist. Last year, 99 of 115 seats up for election in the Assembly and Senate were won by the candidate who spent the most. That means big spenders won 86% of the time, and that's pretty much on par with what we saw in the previous three legislative elections. But this time, the Democracy Campaign found that six of the 16 candidates who won but did not spend the most in their race had some big money help from special interests that ran schmear ads, sent nasty mailings, and sponsored other activities to support or oppose candidates in those races. With us is Democracy Campaign Executive Director Mike McCabe to talk about the report, some of these races, the groups, and what happened and what can or should be done, if anything, to change things. First off, Mike, let's touch on some of these races. Is there anything special or unique about these six races, the candidates or the groups that got involved, and the amount of money that they spent?
Well, you know, what these races have in common is that they're all in districts that could go either way. They're in districts where either Republicans or Democrats could conceivably win. Some of them lean one way, some of them lean the other, but they are districts that are up for grabs. In some cases, you saw an incumbent lose, like in the 2nd Assembly District, where you had a longtime incumbent, Frank Lissay, beaten. But a lot of outside money came in to knock him off. In another, you, like the 43rd, you had an incumbent who won, and again, with big help from outside interests. But I think the common thread that runs through these districts is that they're battleground regions of the state, and that's where the outside interest groups focus their money. You know, they're not going to waste their time or energy or money on districts that are clearly Democratic and are going to elect a Democrat, or clearly Republican, and it's going to stay in the GOP column no matter what. They focus on the handful of districts where you conceivably either party could win, and they go in there and they try to get a candidate of their choosing elected.
Okay. Overall, is there a greater advantage to Democratic candidates or Republican candidates when groups like the Teachers Union or All Children Matter or the Greater Wisconsin Committee zero in on their races?
Well, there's a bigger advantage to the candidate who gets all the help if it's just one of those groups that come in. But a lot of times you'll see multiple groups come in, and they'll duke it out, and it'll be groups on both sides. I don't think that there's a natural partisan advantage because, you know, the Teachers Union is on the Democratic side, but then you got the State Chamber of Commerce on the other side doing the same thing. For every group like All Children Matter, you've got a group like Greater Wisconsin Committee. So, you know, when the Republicans have their front groups, the Democrats have their front groups, and you know, if only one side's group comes in and tries to hijack a race, that creates a real partisan advantage. But a lot of times we see groups from both sides in there, in those battleground districts where either side could win.
Well, if there's often no clear advantage to either party, then who's harmed? Why not let the groups and the candidates play this election time Russian roulette if nobody's really harmed by it?
Oh, there's serious harm. You know, first of all, I think you have to start with all of the prospective candidates who've been priced out of the political marketplace. You know, you look at this report, and what becomes really clear is that we've got fee speech, not free speech, in state campaigns. You know, the R has been effectively taken out of free speech, and unless you have access to truckloads of money, you really can't compete. Almost always, the candidate with the most money wins, and then in a few exceptions, it's often the outside interest groups that make up the difference and compensate for any financial disadvantage and put a candidate over the hump. So all of those prospective candidates out there who would make excellent public servants, who have great ideas and a lot to add, they've been effectively priced out of the marketplace and they've been fenced out of the public square. That's a huge loss to our state because a lot of people with good ideas really can't take part because they aren't independently wealthy or they're not willing to do what it takes to cozy up to wealthy interest groups and so they can't compete. And that leads me to the other big loser, and that's the average voter. What we end up with are elected officials who are a heck of a lot more interested in keeping their big donors happy and keeping these big interest groups happy than they are in serving the average voter. And so what we get are elected officials who are more afraid of their cash constituents than of their voting constituents. And I think they're more interested in catering to their cash constituents than their voting constituents.
Okay. What should be done? And can the legislature do it? Does the legislature have time to do anything to find a solution to this problem to make sure that it doesn't happen in November 2010?
Well, no question there's time. If the legislature would choose to act, there's plenty of time to get this done. I think the bottom line is right now we've got donor-owned elections. If you look at all the people who donate to state campaigns, they amount to about 1% of the state population. So 1% of the people of this state are bankrolling these campaigns, and they end up calling the shots. They want these elected officials to cater to their interests. I think we need to have voter-owned elections, publicly financed elections, where we all have a financial stake in who gets elected to office. We could do it for $3 or $4 per voter in this state and have publicly financed elections that would free our candidates from the money chase. It would bring those people who've been priced out of the marketplace back into the public arena, give them an opportunity to compete, and allow them their ideas to be out there and give voters a chance to vote for people who would really represent them. It's a matter of political will. It's a matter of getting our lawmakers today to do what's right for the average citizen, the average tax-paying voter. Instead of simply having this system where there's every incentive to cater to the wealthiest interests in our state.
Okay. Thanks a lot for joining us, Mike. If you'd like to see more and read more about the races where special interest groups got involved and interfered, go to our report on our website dated July 9th, as well as go to the Hijacking the Campaign 2008 section on our website to learn more about the special interest groups that interfered in these races. Thanks for listening.